Welcome to episode 96 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, Fords, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that swan dives into your life. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason. Swan dive! I love it.
I'm on a horse.
Old Spice commercials are ruling the internet right now. I don't think I've ever seen one of those on TV. That's the thing.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I see them on TV all the time.
See, I haven't seen them on TV.
Right before I hit fast forward.
Oh, see, I'd watch that.
I caught one the other night when I was watching TV with Laura, and we were just, like, mesmerized. It was like, what is... Oh, my God.
He's so good.
They should combine those with the Bruce Campbell ones, where he's in the background playing Hungry Like a Wolf on the piano.
That was so good he did that.
It should be Bruce Campbell, like, swan diving into your life.
And then he changes into the black dude.
He could do that.
That's the final change.
Oh, that's it. The guy ripped off his face,
and then Bruce Campbell.
He does have the mustache.
Who then rips off his face, and he's a stick of Old Spice.
Stick
did I go too
of
far?
Old Spice?
I think you did go too far.
Okay.
You gotta have some balance in this, Dave.
So
I'm a failure.
Old Spice. Why are you a failure?
Apparently. Because I don't have balance. I don't bring balance to the Force.
You can go too far.
I would be a Hutt if I were in the Star Wars universe.
Where you know they are hermaphrodites.
Really?
Yes.
I don't really care.
I'm saying you could have a lot of fun that way.
As long as I was a gangster who had unlimited money, then that'd be pretty sweet. And they rule.
They do.
Their universe.
I'd be a Twi'lek.
Would you?
Women gotta like the tentacle.
No. You'd be my slave.
I'll be your doorman if I can get the women.
You'd be my doorman. I'm ugly.
I would be an Ortolan. That's one of the elephant-looking dudes.
Yes, Max Rebo?
Max Rebo. Of, what was the name of his band? I can't remember. He had a name, but I can't remember. But yes, Max Rebo is an Ortolan, and they dye their fur when they're the kids. It's like a rebellious kind of thing. You know, instead of getting piercings, they dye their fur. So you have like.
They have
ones.
Fur? They look like they're.
Well, actually, I think the Galaxy Guide 4, harkening back to the old Westin games, Star Wars game, Galaxy Guide 4, describes, I think their skin is velvety, if I remember right.
They look like they're made of clay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this expression, which I am giving you, Josh, is not coming through the microphone.
It is not. Oh, to be back in junior high playing Star Wars D6.
Yeah, I was like one when you were in junior
high. Yeah, you were.
How old are you, Flanzer?
What decade were you born in?
I'm not that young. I was born in the 80s.
89?
86. What was the...
Do you remember? You don't even remember the Challenger exploding.
No, I do. I play... It's the... In Apples to Apples, if you play that, unless... JFK assassination or Rosa Parks is played, it always wins for me.
Really?
Yep. JFK assassination's first, then Challenger explosion. Rosa Parks always loses unless you play it over that because she trumps them because she's very important.
I still have to play that game.
Really? You haven't played it?
I have heard people describe it, but I've never actually played it.
My friend Logan, if you play Meat and Potatoes, he'll always take it no matter what it is.
Well, yeah, it's Meat and Potatoes.
He loves it.
I have no idea how that has anything
Who'd
to do with
it. Who'd win a fight?
Game. That's right.
2011. Watch out, guys.
Rosa Parks or the Challenger?
Rosa Parks has
Depends.
To
be. Are you in a bus or in the sky?
However, if the Challenger is in a bus, then you have a problem.
It's a big bus.
So, here we are. We're on the mics.
We're on the mics. And I think...
Where's Tim?
Tim is not here.
Bale Street.
No kidding.
21 Bale Street. He's going undercover at the local high school. And I don't know.
I don't either. Comic-Con's this weekend.
Comic-Con
or I should
happening.
Say was this is it might even no it's probably still going on.
The Throg was released.
The Throg was Rasheth was released.
He looks like a jeans dealer.
Yeah, you got
it. He really does. His back looks like exactly the same.
Hmm.
Little fishy there, PP. But he
are you serious?
He looks good. What?
Does it matter if it looks reminiscent of something else? I thought the artwork looked like a poodle. I thought it would have been awesome if they had carried that through.
Why does it look like a poodle?
You look at it from the front and it's kind of with the spine coming up atop its head and kind of things coming down, it looked like ears.
I can see that.
It was evocative of a poodle face, and it was just funny.
I do not like poodles. Some of my least favorite dogs.
I would have puffed his tail.
I don't like chihuahuas. Sorry, Ray.
Ray, I'm not sorry. I don't like chihuahuas either.
He has a chihuahua named Baby.
That's the worst name I've ever heard in my life for a chihuahua. I would slap that dog if I saw it.
My brother has a couple of poodles, not miniature, full-size poodles.
Jeez, those are huge.
Yes. One named Kona. Coffee.
Conan.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is Cosmo.
Kramer?
Yes. And that inspired my sister to name her poodle Bosco.
Ooh.
There you go.
What about Ovaltine?
Comic-Con.
Cans round.
Mug is round.
I call it round teen.
If I get a poodle, I will name it. I will name it round teen for you, Josh.
Awesome.
So Rasheth was spoiled.
Yes, he was.
He doesn't have an attack.
He has everything to do with Titans.
Except his stats.
Except not.
His armor is probably similar to a Titan.
I think they said his armor was 14.
Carnivore is cool on a Titan.
I thought they said 14.
I'm pretty confident his armor is 18.
I don't know.
I thought something I read.
Carnivore is cool on Titan.
Yep. Yeah.
Carnivore is also cool on Molt Karn.
Yeah.
God. He has a spell that they didn't really spoil, that we don't know what it does.
What's that?
I don't know. There's a spell name that I don't know what.
Oh, the name of the spell.
Correct, yeah. That's the way they've apparently been doing it recently. All of the every warlock and warcaster that comes out, it seems like they have a bunch of spells from other people and then one spell of their own. Like, that's exactly how Drake McBane was. It's exactly how, like, Venethra. I'm pretty sure all of the casters thus far that have come out since the
more or less books. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure 100%.
Trying to remember. Yeah, I think Vindictus only
and then Strakov got Sentry, and then that's it that he had. And then,
all right, I'm looking at a spoilers thread right now.
Okay.
I'm going to assume these are right. I don't know. It says the speed is the same as a Kador slow.
So four.
Probably four. Okay.
How fast is a Kador slow?
Probably four, unless I crippling grasp it. Defense of a Kador Jack, probably 10.
Yep.
Armor of a Praetorian Swordsman.
Really? I thought it was armor of something different. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, 14.
So that's 10. Pretty damn low.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Strength, mat, rat, doesn't matter. No melee or ranged weapons. Wounds of the Butcher, which is
20.
20? That's pretty beefy.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. He's a hut himself.
There are a lot of fat rolls you have to cleave through to kill him.
Absolutely. Beast points, average scorn caster. I don't know what that is. Probably five, usually five or six.
I'm going to guess six. I think five is very limited in scorn. I think they have mostly sixes. And
I agree.
Probably. Yeah. Five and a half.
What's the difference?
Dark rituals. Once per turn, he can arc a spell essentially through a friendly warrior model as if it were an arc node, and then that model takes some damage. So if you do it on a single wound model, it'll probably die. Maybe if you can do it through a beast or something, it'll survive.
Probably D3.
Probably something like that. It does say probably D3, but it doesn't specify exactly. Impervious flesh, as Dave just mentioned. Range attacks deal less damage. So I guess the low armor kind of offsets that a little bit.
It might be minus one
die. Could be like minus
a die
or something like that. Could be like flesh
of
clay.
Who is it that has minus one die right now?
Flesh of clay on the stone pounder.
The world guardian.
I call him a stone pounder.
He's he's pretty sweet. We saw him yesterday.
He is steady. Because those
Titans.
Agonizers. They're strong.
But you know what? If you are a redeemer and you get you get the choir, you just need to roll average to hit him anyways. You don't even need to drop
him. That's kind of
sad. He only gains five defense over being knocked down.
Yeah. Let's see. He's the Fury of Victoria Haley, Major Victoria Haley, so he's an 8. It's pretty good.
No, actually, he's a 0. Major Victoria Haley has no Fury.
This is a very good point.
Way to go, PP. You messed that one up.
Well, the guy who wrote the spoiler. See, his spells, Bloodmark, Breath of Corruption, Carnivore, Castigate, Influence, and Sunder Spirit.
So we know what all of those do except for the first one. What's the first
Blood
one?
Bloodmark.
Bloodmark. Do we know what that is? We don't.
It marks you with blood,
so,
and then he
I'm sure it's a beast spell. I'm sure it is. I'm pretty confident it is.
Yeah, probably. It might be something like beasts get a bonus against a damaged target.
Perhaps.
We'll speculate here in a second. I just had a kind of a funny idea. His feat is Plague Wind. While enemy models are in his area, they suffer strength and arm debuff. Much like the Withering, so probably minus 2. He heals a point, or 1 HP, as it says, every time a living model is destroyed in his control area. So I don't know if that means you want him up front to take damage and heal him with his feet, or what.
He sounds horrible.
I wonder if Bloodmark does damage to him.
He sounds like the worst warlock I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Maybe Bloodmark does damage to him and buffs.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Here we go. There's an annotation at the end for Bloodmark. Offensive upkeep spell that debuffs armor.
Sounds like the worst warlock I've ever heard of.
Also, he may choose to transfer damage to that model. And then it expires. So that's a little
defense odd. 10.
I know it's 10. Well, see here. Well,
epic sorcerer.
If these are all of his rules, then yeah. I was gonna suggest maybe he can tie himself to like a beast, and it can pull him up, feel like an.
I'm just saying, like
anti leash.
Even if you roll one less die, let's say that's what it is. Like epic sorcerer, for example, if you drop a bomb, two bombards on him, he's dead.
14 armor is crap.
14 armor is crap. I thought it'd be like 18 or 19 armor.
Let's just take the generic Seraph and we'll forget Parasite on Lilith.
Sure.
A Seraph is a 12. On average, on one die, it's still going to do a point of damage to him. Meaning if you boost for a second one, you're going to do about four per shot.
Which is good, which is not bad against a Warcaster.
Now, he has 8 Fury, which means he can transfer a lot, but that means he's not spending a lot for spells.
That's a lot of damage, though, he has to transfer.
I'm saying it's kind of funny. Having that low armor and all his Fury is actually worse in some
ways. I will say Breath of Corruption with a big pile of Praetorians.
Because he can channel.
Mm. Because he can channel.
Once
it's
per turn.
It's only once per turn. God.
Still, though, that might be. I mean,
yeah, and Breath of Corruption is a great spell.
You got Scorn. You play the attrition game, so you like arc it, wear them down.
Which doesn't help
arc
you
it, wear them down.
Yeah, but it doesn't help them in any other way. I mean, the armor debuff is cool. I like that, obviously. And then his feet, so you can kind of like the Withering Parasite or the Withering Crippling Grass. You can really get something low.
Ooh,
to take
that's
it out.
The thing. I mean, you want to get that art. If you want a Breath of Corruption, you got to put the armor debuff on the caster. So the first turn, you have to arc that on him. Or it's turn two, you have to arc that on him. Turn three, you can start doing the first Breath of Corruption. However, a beast is going to pound to a lowered armored caster.
I thought you'd have, like, Agonizer-like abilities, you know?
Yeah, that's what people were suggesting. It would have fit, I think, at least theme-wise.
And that would have been super nasty if it would have been in his control area.
There might be something we're missing.
Debuffs.
Could be. Yeah, you know, these spoilers are never 100% right. You know, sometimes as solid as they seem, one little thing's wrong and it changes the whole world. So,
and he's speed 4. Like, you're just going to leave him behind. And with no survivability or offensive punch, like, for example, Gorton and Karchev, both speed 4, both are tanks and can, you know, kill the best of them.
Two things I just thought of. The way Carnivore is worded, when the spell it's on kills a model, this model
heals deals.
This model refers to the Warcaster.
Because it's on him.
Card. So, between that...
Wait, what?
I thought Carnivore gave you the choice of either, does it not? Maybe I'm thinking of Wrong Eye and Snapdragon.
Even if he's healing all the time...
I'm just saying he's got some decent healing.
Sure.
To help him. But
however,
I agree...
he has to be... Like, most of the time he's just going to get focus fired. And then, especially if you're in melee with him, then you're going to have, you know, your beasts are going to be dying.
Because he's got nothing to clear out the area right around him. No, I agree with you.
Him into him. Like a Titan is armor 19. Or you can attack him who's armor 14. Even with one less die, it's a better damage roll than attacking a Titan with a ranged attack. So why not just attack him?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying he's got a little bit to help him, but he does not sound competitive yet.
And he is going to be in the back.
We don't know all his wording as well.
This is true.
Right,
he's got a huge control area.
Mm-hmm. And like Jason just said, we're just getting, you know, translations of the actual rules.
And,
so who knows?
And, you know, also, I mean, it's maybe different in application. I mean, Scorn is just, it seems so unpredictable. It seems very difficult to judge until you see on table. For example, we were, you know, we've been talking about the Ancestral Guardian, how it got nerfed, which it certainly did. However, I played against one the other day. And it just wrecked her face. I mean, it's still a mat 8, pow 13 magical
cost
weapon.
Cost 2, right?
What? Cost 3.
Oh, does it really?
However, it charges for free now. It's mat, like I said, mat 8, pow 13. It can have 4 attacks in one turn. Solos can't have that.
Right.
You know, at reach. So it's still good. And I think that, you know, Scorn is definitely the faction that needs to be explored the most. And I know Scorn players are probably eager to try out stuff like that. So.
Now, do we know everything that's coming out in the Scorn book? Everything been spoiled?
No. I mean, we have the Sentry. And the Razor Worm.
I guess how many new things were in
the
other
Master
books?
Or the Tormentor minion guy. And that's all we know in Rasheth.
I was just trying to think how many new things.
Oh, and the Annihilators. The Annihilators.
Right. Oh, we don't know anything about them, right?
No, we don't.
They probably have.
We just had the fluff piece.
They might have a solo, or the minion guy might be it.
One of the note quarters had a picture of a new Scorn guy. It was a artwork.
Yeah.
I don't know if we
remember
ever
him. We thought
his name
or Warcaster. And also, you know, with the thing coming from Janissa Stonetide, the little blurb in the errata, I mean, that sounds like a warlock. We don't know. However, she could be a solo.
Was it Rockwall or Wall of Stone, something like that?
Yeah, whatever.
That seems like a Warcaster kind of spell.
It's what Gorton has.
Is it the same name? Okay, so they changed Rockwall to Wall of Stone then. Okay.
Ooh, I like cover.
Interesting.
No. Gorton has Rockwall.
She is Wall of Stone.
Oh.
She is Wall of Stone.
Oh.
That was the whole point.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
So, I mean, it sounds like a warlock, I don't know. But if that's the case, we might be getting 2. And if not, it'd be weird to get a character solo out of the blue.
I don't think she's going to be a warlock. She was. This sounds like a Wall of Fire, Wall of Stone, Rockwall spell, which are upkeepable. So, it would not have a duration listed on it.
That's true. Also, it wouldn't be placed in a control area. if she were a solo.
It's very interesting. Which would mean it would be have to be a different spell from
probably
Rockwall, because that says placing your controller. This would have to say something different.
Right. But whichever.
So, very cool. I don't know. Yeah. It's very possible we get two Warlocks. I don't know.
But nothing about Titans there.
Yeah, very disappointing. He had some promise for the fatty
crew. I had a dream where I was flipping through the Legion book, and I was reading Bethane's stats. I just remembered this now.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember for life me what it was.
Were you dreaming that you were dreaming, or was this a first-level dream?
I think it was a first-level dream.
Saw Inception.
Oh, my God. Inception is so good. Go out and see it if you haven't seen it. It's worth the 2.5 hours of your life. It's a very good movie.
It is pretty good.
It'll probably be best film of the year.
That's
my opinion.
It was hyped a little too much for me, but I still enjoyed it. So,
see, I didn't feel like it was hyped very much. I felt like the hype was, what is this movie about?
I guess the hype I heard was from local people telling me about it.
I don't know what teasers you guys saw, but I did see one kind of reveal what he's doing. I mean, maybe there's something else to it that you're...
When we walked into the theater, we sat down and to the D-Box demo. Have you seen these? They're the seats that move around and vibrate and all that kind of crap. And there was a trailer for it that I hadn't seen. And so we watched it before we saw the movie. And that could have been the one you're talking about. It does explain a little bit more. But even that trailer is a little bit misleading.
Okay.
So it's a... Yep.
In New York City, it's really sweet. They have a lot of ads for it.
Uh-huh.
However, the ads are giant. I guess it's like a giant like vinyl or whatever they make things that you hang off buildings of.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the building's like peeling.
Oh, right.
And so it's really cool. Really cool visual 3D effects that they just put on buildings. Like one looks like there's water pouring out of all the windows.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Looks really cool.
All right. So let's move on to content.
Content.
Is there anything else as far as news goes?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
Oh, how about this? I saw the Scythian model yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is gigantic.
Is that thing out?
Yeah.
Really?
Came out Wednesday.
Wow, I'm behind.
I think I'm going to have to just putty over the shoulder holes because those spikes are way too big.
But they look sweet. I think they look sweet. I think he looks way better than I thought he looked.
I'm concerned about storage.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's going to be a pain in the ass to store like that. What you should do is you should get little hinges so you can flip them up.
Like a transformer?
If you could do that, I would give you credit.
Well, I'll just...
Like store credit?
I have $50 to Game Crazy. However, they're all closing.
What is Game Crazy?
It's like I think they were attached to Hollywood Videos, and some of them kind of went solo. They went on their own, and it failed. And I need to go. There's like one in the Loop, and it's been like closing for the past couple weeks. You probably have nothing there. I need to go spend that $50. My mom won it in a contest.
Oh, cool.
As part of like a package.
Here's a crappy gift.
Maybe they should stop giving away so many gifts to me. That's why they went under.
I don't know.
All right, so we done with bullshit?
Probably not, but yeah. For now.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have nothing to say about your tournament.
So you're just going to play on your phone.
I'm going to take a picture of me
once,
because all you bastards always get your pictures on the Facebook page.
Do you want me to do it? By the way, if you are looking at our Facebook page, that picture of Josh was not him speaking. That was him posing.
I am one ugly guy.
Oh, it's true. So now that we've done that, Dave and I played in a tournament yesterday.
Yep. 500 point steamroller.
500 points. That's 500 a lot of points.
Shut up. You 50, got 10 armies.
50 point steamroller. SR 2010, of course. Playing SR 3 today. Throwback. No, to SR 2010. And he only ended up lasting 3 rounds because we didn't have 16 players to put it up to even pairings for the 4 rounds. And then
someone got paired down and lost.
And lost,
in round 2.
Yep.
So third round wound up being the last one.
Yep.
Which is good for me because I had to be out of there. I had to make another engagement.
There you go.
I'm a popular guy.
You had another engagement?
Yes, I have another engagement.
That's really dangerous. Don't you? Is your wife upset with that?
It's not
illegal.
Really?
Sure, you can be engaged to as many people as you want.
I'm going to do that.
It may be sinful if things are coming along with the engagement.
Just things are coming, it may be
this
dangerous.
Is true.
So, you played Menoth.
Yep. I played the Protector. I made 2 lists and played one of them all day.
See, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that to my friends. You know, I tell my little model friends that they're going to get played, and if I couldn't play them, they'd be very upset.
Well, the list I didn't play was Vindictus.
You would have played it if you would have played me, I think.
Maybe. But the problem was...
Because I had Irusk as one of my lists. You would have hated Rough Terrain.
The problem is that my other list was the Harbinger.
Yeah.
And with the scenarios that we got... her feat was too good.
What scenario could you not have gotten that would have
destruction.
Been
destruction?
Did you say her feat was too good, so you didn't use her?
No, her feat was too good not to use.
Oh, I see. I misheard you.
Yes. What did you do to her feat?
Her feat was horrible. The last round, I was playing a guy for the Protectorate coin, and I won the roll and went second. Sent everything up into the zone, feated first turn. He had left some errands in front of two of his four heavy warjacks. He had a ton of metal on his list.
So he could take it.
And he couldn't take it from me, but I had messed up and not put a unit completely in it. So at the end of his turn, I didn't get one either. But then I moved up. I was able to keep him out of the hill. Actually, another guy named Dave, also playing a protector. And he was a really nice guy. We had a lot of fun. Afterwards, talked painting and stuff like that for a little while.
Yeah, he's a good player, right?
Yeah, he plays out of the Fantasy Shop, St. Charles.
Oh, cool.
Which Dave is this?
Not Zero. Not There's Zero. Another
I
Dave.
I haven't seen him, yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Respectable looking chap.
He is another David, I believe.
Ooh.
Chap is the new gentleman.
Chap is the new gentleman.
Chap is the new gentleman. So yeah, it sounded good.
Yeah, and the game before that, I played Kratos in a Harbinger on Harbinger overrun.
Well, oh, that was, yeah, that was
I never remember the name of the four. What's the one with the strip across the middle?
That's Overrun.
That's Overrun. Yep.
Okay, there you go. So everybody got +3/+3 in Trample. it was one of the most brutal games ever because what made the difference was I had a lot of multi-wound models, and so they took her feet. And I sacrificed some people with martyrdom to get behind his enlivened avatar and charged it with mine.
Yeah, that's cool. So if you are a Man of War shock trooper and you're in a line side by side by side.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And let's see here. I'm trying to think of how to do this best. Okay, so if I have five in a line and I say I perform the shield wall order, and as I move, I stay within base-to-base contact with someone for the entire movement, mm-hmm. I would then have shield wall at the end of the Harbinger's feat. Is that correct?
I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you only take your Harbinger's feet damage as soon as you start moving, right?
It's when you end your movement.
Oh, it's end, really. Yeah. So you could actually move out of base-to-base, come back into base-to-base, and still... Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow, that'd be pretty helpful.
My first game, I don't know why I did this reverse order, was against a Epic Haley player.
Jack Heavy.
Jack Heavy, Epic Haley.
Very interesting list.
He actually came to the event with 35-point lists.
Oh, and threw, so he added jacks.
He added like a jack and something else to pad it out.
Nice.
And it worked pretty well. He was doing a ton of damage from range. I was trying to feed stuff to him to keep him from shooting the stuff I really wanted to keep alive. Had to martyr the crap out of everything because stuff was dying left and right. And the last turn, I managed to kill Thorn with the Harbinger and the Vanquisher in melee, freeing up a charge under Crusader's Call from a Cav model and a Bastion with Guided Hand on both.
Yeah.
And my 3-dice Bastion attack roll came up 4, and I missed.
Eey.
And then the horse charged anyway and did, like, 12 damage. So had the Bastion hit.
It's over.
But as it was, instead, Harbinger was sitting there with, like, 8 life back, 8 life left because of martyrdom, in the middle of the table with no focus, with a hunter about 3 inches away.
That's ridiculous. Yeah,
I got kept.
Yeah, that'll happen. That's ridiculous, though.
It was pretty, pretty fun, though.
My first round, I flubbed some pretty big rolls, too. I had the 4 dice come up 7 and then 8, so that was pretty shitty. But it was fun.
Yeah, but you won the tournament.
I did win the tournament. I went the tournament. I was rocking E-Vlad in the first 2 rounds, making a comeback. And then to bring it home, pull out the Commandant. And I was playing a good friend of mine, Kurt. You know, he's been a really good player. He's been switching a lot of factions, though, and he decided to play Mercs today. Not as experienced with that. Definitely would have given me a better game with lots of his other factions that he's pretty proficient at. And I told him at the beginning of the game that Eresk was going to kill Magnus. And so at the end of the game, Eresk pulled out, I think it's called Onslaught, I think it's the name of his weapon. Shot twice.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah.
That gun is so good. Range 10, POW 13, rate of fire 2. I mean, with Reinhold, you have the focus to make a fully boosted shot, buy another one, and then fully boosted, and then take your free fully boosted. 3 boosted POW 13s is pretty good. He's rat 6, so it's not too shabby. But he had the obliterators, So I hung back for a long time, and he decided to blow his rockets, which at that point I could feel confident in moving up. And I didn't really cast spells until the end of the game because,
Yeah, it's not your focus.
With Arcing Fire, and he had a Mariner too, and I just couldn't handle that much damage.
Sure.
So
you couldn't handle that much meat?
Correct, yeah. And I had to tie up Eris, and I got kind of lucky, although I still believe he was out of the range because I kind of put Eresk in the counter corner. Hawk charged a Great Bear and did not kill him. They were in base-to-base with our Great Bear, but he missed the charge attack. She's only mat 7, so, I mean, he needed a 6, but, it's still pretty – he most likely should have hit, and that would have probably dropped him. However, he did have tough, of course, and no knockdown, and he was engaging Eris, so – and Eris couldn't get away. So that was good, and, it was a lot of fun. I played – Shock Troopers were just MVPs that game, though. They just – held that center so hard, like he was damaging the crap out of him. And they also moved up one turn in Shield Wall, and first guy shoots a Kaiazi Assassin, hit him, killed him. He was in stealth range. Next guy moves up, shoots at a blurred press ganger, so defense 16, rolled boxcars, killed him. So the shield cannons, watch out.
Nice.
I'm convinced that you should feed on shield cannons just to shoot things. But no, I didn't play them with him. But E-Vlad was awesome. I was so happy to get him in there. And he pretty much did the killing blows both times himself. Because I was tired of, whenever I remember playing E-Vlad Mark 1, he was always hanging out in the back the entire time. And I wanted my Vlad to get the job done himself. Because he's sweet.
Is my Vlad like my buddy?
My buddy? What's that?
Oh, my God.
80s, right? 80s.
All right, Dave.
Is it a Cabbage Patch Kid?
That is an 80s thing.
No, but is that what my buddy is?
No.
No.
What is my buddy?
It's the guy's version of Kid's sister.
Yeah.
So, a doll.
Well, wherever they go, you want to go.
I had Teddy Ruxpin.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No, that's an 80s thing.
Yeah. You hit the tape player. He had a tape player built into his back.
Did you get the one where the eyes glow red and it, like, screams at you at night?
No. Did that happen?
Mine did.
No. I forgot to mention. Kratos will be happy that I talked about this. When I played against this Harbinger, I sent in some Cav at him and brought him down to 1 life. Threw a daughter up there. Had to roll boxcars to hit her because it was also next to a Reckoner, dropping her mat even further because stacked with awe. Wasn't able to do last point. So I managed to kill the Harbinger at the start of the next turn on a fire roll from the Vanquisher's attack.
It's bullshit.
Fire's bullshit. I just play trolls. I don't have to worry about being on fire anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Before I forget.
Before he forgets.
That's right. Well, I was uploading that picture of me screaming at you, Flanzer.
Yeah.
Looks hilarious, by the way. Edwin Smith says, "Hey, guys. Hi from the UK. Do me a favor and do a Legion episode. Just got back into them for Mark II smiley face."
Ooh, smiley face. Then we'll definitely have to do that.
And it's a smiley face with a dash as the nose. It's not like the weak... Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to bother smiley face.
Like a frog face. It's more
This is going through the effort smiley face.
Sure.
Although I also would appreciate the O as the nose and then the P as the tongue sticking out.
That one works too.
I like that one better, but this one is also good. And thank you, Edwin, for going through the trouble.
I fucking hate smileys.
My friend uses a semicolon and a curly bracket as the mouth.
He's confused.
He is confused.
He's like, oh, I'm eating something sour.
Maybe he's got like a hair loop.
I guess. I don't know.
Heroin?
Like, he uses the curly bracket because it gives you a little hair lip.
Ooh.
We do have a couple.
Or maybe it's a mustache. Maybe it's a mustache.
We have a couple other emails and other questions that have been sent to us, but we will add that to the queue.
I'm going
to
wear a porn stash.
Speaking of emails.
It's a big brush hog.
Or it could be small.
Do you guys know what the brush hog is? That like machine that like kills brush?
Yes.
I want one of those just to go through my neighbor's lawn. Just eat up balls of grass.
It's just a big lawnmower.
It's more than
it's
that.
It's an uber long mower.
Yeah, it's like a scythe.
Yeah, it's like a combine for grass and bushes, pretty much.
It's awesome. Wow. So the weekly League of Legends update.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get this out of the way.
It's going really well. I'm on a pretty big streak right now. I'm pretty sure I've rattled off 9 wins in a row.
Wow.
Pretty proud of myself. I've been playing a lot of Singed for all you leaguers out there. I got an email from a gentleman, too, after I said it, so that's why I decided I had to make a weekly update. It's going really well, and... excited for ranked play. I've just been practicing some more, and I didn't really want to get into ranked play until I knew what I was doing, exactly what I wanted to do. So still working on it, but it's going well.
How's that blog going?
that blog. It's boiling. Gamingforblood.blogspot.com. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, you wrote about League of Legends in your last post, which is so recent. And then I commented on it, and then it died again. How many blogs have you had die on you?
About four.
Really?
The first one was 5.20. That was a really good one.
Have you ever had one of those Tamagotchi things?
Yeah.
Did those die on you, too? You can't take anything electronic, can you?
You can't. No. I need to... I'm going to start blogging.
Speaking of video games. I play a little bit of a game called Alien Swarm. It's a free Steam game.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. I heard that was good.
Yeah. It's okay. The problem is you can't...
play it.
You can't do single player or like you and one or two buddies with bots. You can have it to four people, and if there's a spot empty, there's just a spot empty. So if you don't want to jump into a public game, it's harder to, you know, just kind of
League has bots. You should play League, man. It's free.
I got enough games going on.
But you just played Alien Swarm. It's a worse game.
He's saying he doesn't want to play with you.
Listen, if you watch the League of Legends Season 1 cinematic trailer and you don't want to play it, I'll accept that. But if you watch that trailer and you think it's sweet, we're going to link that shit in the show notes.
I watched it. I think I watched it with the sound off because for whatever reason. It looked interesting, but it's not my kind of thing.
That's probably far less entertaining of a trailer with the sound off. I'm just saying.
As a matter of fact, the music is quite epic.
Like, is it?
It really is gripping.
Cool.
As a matter of fact, I just watch it without the picture off.
Wow.
Do you know what?
Watch it with the picture
off.
You
play it without the picture
off? Do you know what trailer I enjoyed?
I Have an Erection.
The one you live in.
Awesome. That one.
We're in a trailer right now.
Warhammer Online actually had a pretty good one.
This is the creakiest chair of all time.
All right, so let's just transfer back to topic.
Okay, topic.
I spend a fury point and I'm gonna send a topic to Josh.
I don't have your emails in front of me.
I'm gonna maltreat you, Josh. I'm gonna gain a fury point.
Okay. I didn't have any fury on me, so you can't get the fury.
Do you have to? No, you just have to take damage.
You take a fury off. You don't get a fury, you have to take a fury off the beast.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I know that.
I'm going to go ahead, and we got an email from a guy named Mike Buff. I don't have it in front of me, but he was asking about lists.
Wait, I think we need to talk about his name real quick.
Okay.
His name is Mike Buff.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a wrestler name or like a cop name.
It does like a wrestler name. I like that name.
Back to Mike Buff.
Mike Buff.
Michael Buffer.
He's a cop.
Let's get ready to rumble.
He's a cop with a bad attitude.
She's a hooker with a heart of gold and a flamethrower for a leg. They fight crime.
That's right.
All right, so he asked us for some help with some Protectorate and Trollblood lists. He says he's getting knocked around a little bit locally, and he would be interested in seeing some more competitive lists.
Tell him to man up.
That's...
You're Mike Buff, for God's sakes. Go in there and...
He takes crap from nobody.
I'll tell you what, this is it's kind of a joke, but it's actually kind of serious at the same time. And I tell this to everyone who like has asked me for like help winning. I tell them, with help not losing, I say, when you're worried about losing,
just win.
Just win, and you don't have to worry about losing anymore. And it's funny because I told this to two people on two separate occasions, and they told me they did that, and it worked.
What?
I think it's a confidence thing.
It's a confidence thing. I think it's a
tautology thing where it's true by my
It is. That's correct. However, it's the confidence that you gain from like, well, if I just win this game, I don't have to worry about losing.
So it's like you're...
I think that people are pulling, especially in this game, which we know to be this aggressive tabletop miniatures game, you know, sometimes it's hard to get into that mode where you're going to go in there and you're going to get things done and you play a little reserved. And because of that, you become punished when they're just destroying your front lines and you're not being able to retaliate well enough. And I think that as funny as that sounds.
So it's like you're masking an inception with that goofy looking thing, but you're actually giving them the idea and they don't know it.
They don't know it.
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio, I love you.
Look at that. Didn't he act not as excited for that movie when we were talking about it earlier? Look at him. He loves that movie.
It's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it could have had a lot more polish, but it was still really good.
Okay. Polished. It was polished.
Back to Mike Buff.
I haven't liked anything Leonardo DiCaprio has done since Growing Pains, and I was like 8 at the time. So.
If you go see Inception and don't like it, Dave, I will give you
three swords. So you're basing your current day 31-year-old opinions on what you thought as an 8-year-old?
No, I haven't liked anything he's done since. I have seen stuff he's done.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I like the dad on Growing Pains.
Alan Thicke.
He's my favorite.
I hear he's kind of like a sex hound.
I would hope he is.
Let's go back to topic.
It was
all
Mike
over
Buff.
Kurt Cameron. Mike Buff. Back to Mike Buff.
Well, I actually have a list that I ran yesterday. So my 50-point list was the one that I played all day yesterday with the Harbinger.
Okay.
That is a list I made on www.forwardcommander.com. Army name.
Brought to you by Mark Market.
And Mike Buff.
And Mike Buff.
Army name, Harbinger List. That's a very Tim name.
It's very ominous.
Very, very clever. The Warcaster is Amon Raza. It is a Harbinger List, and her battle group is a Devout, a Vanquisher, a Hierophant, and I brought the Avatar.
Surprise.
Yeah, big surprise there. She spends a lot of focus, surprisingly enough. So a heavy jack that can provide its own is actually a big benefit with her. I mean, it's a big benefit with anybody, but you'd think with her high focus, you'd be able to power jacks, but I'm using a lot of her spells, and I'll talk about that later. Or healing.
Or just camping.
Or camping.
Most likely camping.
The Devout's there because she's in a large base, and she's going to get shot. You have to have protection for stuff like Iris or, you know, that one critical attack a turn. And the Vanquisher is a good troop clearing spell, It's a good troop clearing jack. That AoE fire, well, I already said it 1v1 game because I set a caster on fire. And it's extremely handy. He's got circular strike if you ever get swarmed in. So it's a nice utility jack. And I needed a second heavy in this list, I felt. Add to that, I put in a full unit of choir, a unit of Daughters of the Flame, a full unit of Bastions, Gorman the Wolf, the Covenant, a Vassal, and a very controversial choice, a minimum unit of Vengers. I like the Vengers with Harbinger.
For why?
Because you can keep them grouped together, blocking line of sight, move them upfield ahead of her. It doesn't have to be right in front of her. You can give her some room to move up behind them. And then whenever you need to, you can cast Crusader's Call and or Guided Hand and send them off. With Crusader's Call, you know, they have a speed of 8, so they charge 11. Crusader's Call makes that 13, and they have reach. They have mat 9 on the charge, so that's if they've been damaged, and you can save them with Martyrdom, so you don't have to worry about losing one.
Sure.
If they've been damaged, that is a mat 9, pop plus strength, it's 16 charge, boosted if you cast Guiding Hand.
Were you bookless?
No, I did say the Covenant. I have the Covenant. Okay.
One cool thing I heard someone do was use the Piper to give them tough, and you have the book, say no knockdown. So and then when it dies, you say tough check, up, it died, martyrdom.
Mm-hmm. That's a good combo.
Pretty cool little.
I actually would have liked to have the Rupert in this list because there are a few times when Pathfinder would have been key, but I just didn't have the points because I wanted the other stuff here. Gorman, he actually didn't do as much as I hoped he would. He did better when I put him in different lists. But Black Oil can just be huge. I mean, actually, I played against a guy who had Gorman, and I had to Black Oil his Gorman so I didn't get Black Oil in return. But the list, usually I start out running up the Bastions and advancing the Cav either behind them or to the side in their little triangle with Harbinger in the middle. The Daughters, it depends on what I'm facing. I will either just run up to try and gauge, or I'll just keep them at the 10-inch edge of Harbinger's command radius. So she can martyr them, so they can charge the next turn. The Hierophant, you know, packs in with the Harbinger so we can heal her or make spells cost less. And, you know, the Solos kind of just come up behind and do supporty type things. And it is basically an attrition list, but at least with Crusader's Call and the Cav, I do have a pseudo ranged attack to go out there and either tie stuff up or, you know, take out a key Solo. You know, they have a command of, I believe, 9. So you can send one off, and the other two can then still keep advancing in front of Harbinger, and you don't have to commit all of them on a big charge. So it's pretty nice.
That would be cool.
It works really well. It works stupid well in Convergence.
Yeah.
I won the role for both the second and third games, and I chose to go second because with the Harbinger's feet, with her 20-inch control radius, it says anybody who advances at any point, not just in your activation, and ends that movement closer to her than you started, takes a POW 14 fire roll.
And you can take that more than once a turn?
Yep.
Except for Strakhov can't.
So, yeah, Strakhov doesn't care.
Because it's fire damage.
Salt Commandos don't care. Fiora doesn't care. Gorman doesn't care. We had two Harbingers and two Gormans on the table. Made for good times.
Gorman laughs in the face of danger. Darkwing Duck.
Quack.
He flaps in the night.
So that's really great for keeping people off the points because their single moon models are not going to get on the point. And what I did, I would kind of line up my Bastions and Vengers and Jacks, whatever I could, so that they could charge whatever they could tow in the line as far as like their Jacks and whatnot go. So that would let me, feet to keep most of their stuff out and then kill. It's kind of an epic Denegra type of thing, with the exception of you can actually move your Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the POW 14, I think it scared the Protector player a little. He didn't necessarily commit all his jacks to try and get on the hill. He could have put one, maybe two, on the edge of it. But I could have slammed at least one out. But don't be too afraid to take the point, because it means not losing the game on the next turn. You have to do it. And POW 14 on a armor 19 jack, you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, against Maddo, I took the POW 14 to the face to kill Anastasia with two different Great Bears. Mm-hmm. And one of them, he only dealt 4 damage, and the other one died, but he made his tough check, and they can't be knocked down.
Nice. The one thing, like we were just talking about that, I was playing against the other Harbinger player, and he sent the Avatar up to attack something. I forget what. So I pretty much sacrificed Daughters. Well, I moved up so they'd be in martyrdom range, and ran Daughters to it and then behind it, mm-hmm. and then charge it with my own Avatar, taking the POW 14 to kill it. Because, yeah, I mean, that POW 14 hurts, but you cannot let it dictate the game. That's the way the Harbinger can beat you on scenarios, if you let it dictate your play.
Yep. So if you stop worrying about losing, just win.
Yeah, don't worry about losing and winning. This is not a straight-up assassination, but it has some nice tricks. Stuff like if you can keep a Venger and a Bastion alive, Crusader's Call can give them the speed. You could, for example, drop a Cataclysm on whatever's engaging them to free them up, because Cataclysm only affects enemy models. It only hits enemy models.
Ridiculous.
It's really cool. It's 4-inch POW, 4-inch cost 4. POW 20, but that goes down for every full inch between you and the target. But still,
get up there.
Yeah, you could still take out a lot of stuff to clear out space. So it's really useful. The army has some tricks, probably more than you'd expect from a brick, but it's pretty solid, and it worked for me pretty well.
Cool.
And it's
pretty potent.
Yeah, I haven't actually played the Harbinger competitively a whole lot. And because every time I look at her, I think, oh, my God, a large base caster. How am I going to keep her safe?
And then you bring Ethag.
Well, I was so nervous every time he hit
the
table.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think the Bastions really mitigate that. And I think that after the game, Kratos said he's going to drop some stuff and try and fit them in. It's 7 points for 3 of them. But I think that they're really, really handy with her. And I think
incinerators are better with her.
They take too much damage.
But you can save them, and then they will kill things. And they kill infantry better.
I took hits with my Bastions that did not kill me, that would have killed Cinerators, that would have done damage to Harbinger.
I think that their infantry clearing abilities would help you for, other than the Vanquisher, you do not have any. That's my opinion.
Cataclysm.
I guess you can
cast. And actually,
but then you're losing. I mean, Cataclysm is expensive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons the Hierophant's in there, to heal her for D3 every turn and make a spell cost cheaper if she needs that instead. There's also Gorman. Gorman's, Corrosion Grenade is pretty good. But no, it's limited. I'm not going to say there's a ton of infinity cleaning. There's not. And that's actually one of its, weaknesses, is it's relatively slow moving unless it's charging, especially if the Bastions are leading the way, because they're speed 4.
That's true.
So if you can tie them down or anything like that, yeah, you're going to slow them down. And this is, it's better in scenario than it is in a straight fight, because you have to force them to come to you, especially if your feet's up. In a straight fight, you don't have that luxury. I still think it's strong, though.
Yeah, you can definitely tie people up with the Avatar and then, you know, do all your other tricks.
Yeah, actually, that's what I did in the Convergence. He had 2 jacks that could have edged it the last turn, so I ran the Avatar up. I gazed and ran it up so they couldn't get to the zone.
There you go.
So between that, tying them to the side, and Bastions lined up like along the edge, it was pretty easy to claim the zone the second time. So
sure.
It worked well.
Very good.
So that is my competitive Harbinger list.
What do you think?
I don't like the Harbinger in general, because my guys die to them. To her feet.
This is true. You tend to play some...
Even my jacks will take heavy damage, especially
even,
my bone
even
jacks.
Even your cav.
The cavalry could die on a 6.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Bam!
That's right.
You know what you could do, though?
What's that?
You could not move at all.
Or move back.
Or move back.
And then let her take the point, and then I lose.
Or pull a Devastator out.
Ooh, I could, because Crix has those now.
Oh, I'm going to feed all of your Devastator. POW 14 fire damage. Oh, loving off.
Maybe if I had Epic Scar or something to give him the +2 armor,
right,
that might let him survive. But even then,
Yesterday, the Oraculus from Vale was 11 off in the Dragoon. She dealt the point.
Wow.
You know, box scars.
How about that?
Usually, the Harbinger's feat is one of those feats that usually is going to demand a counter feat.
Yeah.
Especially in scenario play, because you've got to somehow gain an advantage back.
Right.
The problem was, I was playing against Kryas and I had the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very lopsided. because his feat, his great thing, and the guy had a lot of range attacks. He had a Vanquisher, he had a Reckoner, he had a minimum unit of Deliverers. It was actually a decent army, a lot of jacks, which kind of surprised me, but if he had gotten to the point, it would have been almost impossible to dislodge.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a minimum unit of Errants and the UA and a Seneschal, which would have been really good on his feat turn. So it was actually a cool little list, but it, with the Covenant screws Kreos.
I mean, but she's only defense 14, so you have the luxury of, you know, if you can manage to hit somehow, you know. If you had, like, Sevi, I have Menoth with tip of scales enough for him to be able to hit enough.
That's kind of why the Cav are there, but yes, you're right. You're right. She is. That's why she's got a camp focus.
Sure.
I don't remember where I was looking at this yesterday, and I don't have the Protector cards, or I do, but I wasn't looking at them. I'm right saying that Ancient Shroud on the Covenant, it says if a damage roll doesn't exceed armor, it takes the point, right? Or it takes only 1 point.
I'm not sure offhand.
Right, because the card roll exceeds its
but
armor.
It deals specifically with the damage rolls, what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well,
So Eris could say you take 3 instead of 1.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yes.
That's what I thought.
You can Deathbolt it and things like that. You know what I like doing?
What's that?
Using Winter Guard Rifleman,
because
they're Rage 14, POW 12, and you boost the attack rolls, and you just shoot the shit out of it.
Yep.
I had a Harbinger player waste, like, a whole crap ton of health keeping that thing alive, and then I shot it with a couple Widowmakers, and Harbinger had, like, a couple life after that. Even though she had 10 focus.
Oh, that's the one thing I was actually talking to Kraft. We were talking about first turn, bottom of turn one plays with Harbinger, and what he had done was he had actually had ran his book, then with the Harbinger charged and feated, but you don't actually have to do that, and we were talking about this later, because she can feat first, because her feat is an aura.
Oh, so really?
She can feat, she can charge something and fail her charge.
Right.
So he was talking feat, Crusader's Call, charge the book, do a point, whatever.
Because you always hear about people charging the book. I wonder why they do that, then.
Maybe because they don't have a good line to charge with the Harbinger. And
or maybe they just have no brains.
Well, even then,
brainless.
That's probably not right. That's probably not correct.
That's a little bit incorrect and insulting.
I'm an insulting kind of guy.
Yeah. Dave, I remember a long time ago, you were saying that a lot of the Legion players, this isn't on the boards, though. I can't remember what you said, but you were
lack
being disparaging on them. I thought it was a little more disparaging than that.
No, it was a lack of...
I'm pretty sure you said they were like the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Pretty much.
They're like fiddlesticks.
What is a fiddlestick?
That's the name.
I know it's a candy.
Fiddlesticks is actually the name of a champion in League of Legends, and he's a Scarecrow.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's really funny. He prances around. It's really cool. Anyways, so that's Harbinger. She's a parade blimp. Float.
A parade blimp?
Blimpies, actually.
Is she chunky?
I actually changed mine. She is not a blimp.
She's an angel.
Yes.
She's floating.
Floating over a engraved protectorate. Well, it's an imprint of an old faction
coin. Did you get the protector coin?
Yes, I did.
There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was yesterday? That was a regular coin event, right? Regular coin
event. I'm kind of disappointed in St. Louis area.
Was that?
For, I believe, that more people should have come to that.
I would have. I had other crap to do that day.
No, I know. And right before Gen Con, probably bad timing.
Well, a couple people also went to out of town to go to a different event.
Yeah, two guys. We had our Genesis event last week, and the guy ended up playing in the finals. He was like, oh, I really wanted that coin. And then we came to find out that him and his buddy drove down to Springfield, Missouri, 3 hours just to play in the Genesis event to try with Grant. I wonder who won. I wonder if he won.
I don't know.
Very, very interesting.
We did have a lot of people, though, that had to bail at the last minute because other stuff came off. I think we would have filled up slots.
How many people actually showed up overall?
12? 10? 12?
There was an odd number of 10. Pairings, so there were...
10 or 12. Oh, odd number of pairings?
There were 10 or 14.
10 or 14, yeah.
And that was...
I think it was only 10.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks because it was a coin event, old coins. So it was very, very cool. But I actually won the only coin. I've never won a Kotor coin. However, I received one in trade.
Mm-hmm.
The only coin I've never owned is the War Machine Primetime coin. And the kit had the Primetime coin in it.
Was that when Remix came out?
I don't know. I wasn't around during this time. I'm sure
it was Remix.
I actually won one of those events. Mm-hmm.
I started playing right after Remix came out, which was right before Evolution came out, which is when I started playing. So, but I have a champion coin, but I don't have a primetime champion coin, and the kit just happened to have that, so I'm really excited to have it.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Anyways, so we wanted to talk about trolls.
Yes.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to the troll forums on multiple ends. Very popular player from the Northeast, Sevwall. plays trolls. He's kind of like, you know, like that guy in the troll forum. So you're like, oh, let's see what Sevwal would say. So he gets his horn too. Definitely good information. Definitely a good guy. He did a guide on the burrowers called the Burrownomicon. And it's very good, really well written, very long. And it just spurred this, like, ridiculous amount of guides. Like, 90% of the first page of the troll forums are guides. It's really weird. Everyone's like, you know, everyone's trying to come up with clever names for their guides, but we're getting a really thick guide base. And, you know, some of the things I've read, I agree with. Some of the things I disagree with. There's certainly a lot of things I think are missing. I'm not sure if I want to talk about them until I get to try them out at this year's next couple of conventions, because I think there's a couple of things I don't want to mention. I don't want people to know that maybe I've been doing or I've been thinking about that have been pretty crazy. So,
in other words, you're saying screw
the community,
our listeners.
No, not our listeners. I mean,
tell them.
I'll tell them if they ask me personally. However, like, just little things.
You want to save your tricks?
I want to save my tricks because I don't want to put them on big boards. Because I know, like, I don't really go on the big boards too often. However, sometimes I like to look up some of, some people and see what they're doing. Like, see what they've been posting on recently, see what they've been playing. Really interesting. I definitely, I did that a lot before Daikon, and I'll probably do that right before Gen Con starts. So just to see what people are playing. I want to give a shout out because that's really awesome. Really happy the troll community is really strong. And I felt the same way about when we did the, what's the event with the world map where we all like had to fight together and stuff?
The league?
I guess the summer rampage or whatever.
Yeah, the leagues. All the cold arm stuff has the.
Yeah, but. More importantly, with the
Rampage.
The Rampage last year with the book.
Oh, you're talking about where they decided the book order?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that was some Rampage.
They worked really well together. That was really fun. And, you know, we got second in Hordes, and that was really good. And we just, you know, were able to rally. And we've gotten second in both of the leagues recently. Silver coin twice in a row. So it's pretty cool. And then additionally.
How does it feel to be the first loser?
It feels good. Twice in a row. Really proud of proud of all the trolls.
Way to go.
You wanted to discourage me, but only made me feel stronger.
I was putting a thought in my mind, an inception, if you will.
It was not inception. However, additionally, there was a thread recently about troll podcasts, our podcast with information about trolls. And, I said that I'd be talking about a trollist today. So we're going to go ahead and talk about one.
And we're out of time though.
But we're out of time. So tune in next time for Trolley Moses.
Next week with Mike Buff.
Mike Buff. All right.
I wonder if his full name is Michael Buffer. That'd be awesome.
I've never played this list. As a matter of fact, I generated it yesterday. However, I've played things very similar. And there's definitely...
There's a tweak on something you play.
Yeah, it's a tweak, and it may not be for the best. It may be for the best.
So you're tweaking out?
Yeah, it has a couple of components of lists that I've tried recently, and I wanted to try to see if this would work as well. It's an Epic Madrak list. He's a very popular guy. As far as I know, the email was asking for competitive lists. I'd say he's one of our most competitive casters right now. He's been doing pretty well. Beanish on the Focus and Fury podcast likes to call him Skilldrak.
I was about to say, I kept seeing on that one thread they called him Skilldrak.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of
a forced name.
No,
it's not a funny name.
Oh, I know. Beanish. I told Beanish it was dumb. Don't worry. He's just jealous. That's all. So I'm playing Epic Skilldrak. Madrak Ironhide World Ender. For my beast complement, I ran three beasts, and I'll talk about why I ran these specific ones, but it's actually two Axers, two separate Axers, and then an Earthborn Dire Troll. I'll get into that in a minute. Then I ran four units. Creel Warriors with two Cabers and a Standard Bear, a min unit of Creel Stone plus the UA, a full unit of Burrowers, full unit of Fenblades, a Fellcaller Hero, and a Stonescribe Chronicler.
Didn't see that coming.
I sat there for a really long time. I really want another Fellcaller in this list. And there's some things, there's a couple of variants that definitely allow me to have said second Fellcaller. However, I did not. So, also a champion. Hero champion's really nice, especially with the Burrowers, because they have very low command. He's command 10. But Madrak's command 9. Hopefully we can keep them in line. And additionally, with the amount of units I have in this list, they are going to be able to... They get to engage on their own terms. And then when that happens, They'll do something, and then if they die the next turn, so be it. 6 points, whatever. Pretty ridiculous for 6 points, by the way. As far as the beasts, I played a Grisel list with two Axers the other day. And when you have the Stone Scribe Chronicler in your list, having two Axers is really fun. With no Fury from your Warlock, you can then rush an Axer and run one 12 inches to gain flank wherever you need it. The Stone Scribe Conqueror essentially gives you that with a bonus to attack and damage rolls. Very helpful on the Burrowers, very helpful on all of these units. And then as for the heavy, I was going to run the bomber for the longest time, but then I realized I have so many troops that I'm probably going to kill my own troops if I bring a bomber. And while he has really good assassination tools, I didn't want to bring an impaler. So I just stuck with, the Earthborn. He is so adaptable. Having Pathfinder is really nice without, even though I have two Axers. His Animus is great for when I want to go up to armor 21 when I'm standing next to a wall with Madrak. Absolutely excellent. Additionally, I find that, killing beasts is can be rather easy. But he really likes killing Jacks and Warcasters. And coming at 10 points, he's quite solid. Creel Warriors are just absolutely bananas. They're fucking amazing. They are
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
They're so good. They just do everything. They have fervor, like zealots. They become Mat 7 Pow 12s. They are 4-6 unit. They do that. The Caber slams. They can't be knocked down. Like, how good is that for like a lot of competitive play? You know, with like Krios and things like that running around, can't be knocked down. They have a 11-inch command area when the Piper's hanging out with the leader. I mean, they've got it all. They really do. KSB, I decided to short him one because I needed the point, but I didn't include the UA. Allows me to have that protection from fire, have that ability to kill incorporeal models, gives me the ability to have +1 strength.
That's so awesome.
It's probably the most versatile thing.
Especially with your faction with, you know, Hordes in general, you know, no arc nodes. You don't see as many attack spells unless in key situations. Mm-hmm. The ability to get around that and kill a Wraith without devoting an exorbitant amount of resources.
Yeah, and you still get the armor.
It's also a borderline case. You don't need to do it, but you're not really spending any resources to do it because you probably, chances are, you can do away with protection from corrosion for a turn if you're trying to kill a Wraith.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, but then, you know, you end up, it's just great for matchups. I mean, you're going to get that Ephiora list where normally it would just pound you, and now you're like clean. You're just slippery. It's really awesome.
I don't think of trolls as very slippery. They are slippery. Maybe
the swamp troll, maybe.
That one I'll buy. That one's awesome because he farts and gives himself concealment, and he has camouflage.
He has camouflage, and he grants himself concealment.
Mm-hmm.
So he just goes, oh, I'm defense 16 from range all of a sudden.
Yep.
Pretty sweet. Then you've got Burrowers. Absolutely amazing. Completely undercosted.
Oh my god, they are so fantastic.
They are so annoying, and they're just great. And like I said, I'll give Sevilla another shout if you want to know more about the Burrowers, the Burrowonomicon. However, I do not want my opponents to read it, but they will anyways, and they're unstoppable, so it doesn't really matter in the first place. Then you got the Fenblades. I know I'm making squeaks. Then you got the Fenblades, another just great, solid unit. They're really fast, get to engage really early. They're usually the meat shield.
They remind me of your TFG. They can kill stuff if they have to, but they're just such a great tie down. 6-inch speed with reach, even if they're not the greatest swordsmen in the world.
Yeah, Mat 6 Pow 12s aren't bad.
You can stop range attacks. You can stop people from coming at you.
With Emadrick's feet, with the reach in general. And yes, specifically, right. That makes them horrible.
Right, absolutely.
And also just, you know, Vengeance is awesome. Yeah. Although I killed, like, I've probably played them like at least 10, 20 times. I only recently got them. And I literally never killed anything on a Vengeance move until last week. This is the most ridiculous thing. And then Fellcaller Hero, obviously given the +2 mat out, Pathfinder. What you need, he's got. He's also got a spray. And then the Chronic.
Oh, you know what you need to do to paint him?
Chronicler. What?
No, the Fellcaller Hero. Get some thin wire and like run 4 of them up the front of his base and put different colored dots on them and paint the stream like Guitar Hero. Explain nope. Fellcaller Hero.
Wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Ridiculous. and then the Stone Scribe Chronicler, also versatility, helps you in the beginning of the game with Feigned Death and Concealment. Then it goes into Flank.
Sacrosanct.
And then you got Sacrosanct on the back.
Which, what's it called? What's he call it?
I don't know. He has Tale of Mists is the first one. Charge of the Trolls is the second one. Mm. And then fuck the other opponent.
Eat face and then screw
screw warrior models.
Lay down and die.
Lay down and die. Exactly.
Yeah, his chronic, he's got the good stuff.
He does. He does. Madrak, he's just so solid, man. Mad 8, Pal 15, Rat 6, Pal 15, Range 8. He's got the whole, if you deal damage to him, you have to sack a warrior model within an inch of him. Keep your Fellcaller and your Chronicler away from him, because once again, you will have to sacrifice them.
Mm-hmm. Is it warrior or is this a non-warcaster?
Warrior.
But watch out in 100-point games.
Yeah.
Yes, don't let someone throw him into Grim.
Yeah.
For Grim will get eaten.
Tip for all you non-Trollo players. Bring your Castigator.
I'll blast.
Yeah, exactly. Because then he'll just kill it. But if for some reason you manage to get the Madrak, throw it at Borka.
Yes, it would work.
Because moving Borka from play would be hilarious.
You don't have to throw Madrak at Borka. You can throw Borka at Madrak.
Yeah,
you just need him to collide.
You see him get damaged.
Hey, this is my story. We'll do it the way I want to.
They got really high armor, though.
So they do, but if you got a high strength.
It is the closest model, though.
No, it's any model than an
enemy. Okay, so what you got to do first, you got to throw Borka away from everything.
Yeah.
And then throw Madrak at him.
There you go.
Clear out the area. Yeah.
So, but Borka can't be knocked down because he's stumbling drunk. Anyways, one thing that Madrak gained was Blood Fury, I think is the name of the spell. I may be wrong. It's something Fury.
Sounds right.
It's called Weapon Master.
It's called Weapon Master and minus two defense for a warrior model unit.
Not even faction, right?
I believe it's faction.
Really?
No, maybe it's not. But it doesn't matter because you want to put it on one of these units that you brought.
That's true.
Because burrowers are stupid with Pal 14s with 3 dice. They're even dumber when you flank them up and you give them plus 2 mat and they're mat 8. They're just amazing killing machines. His feat lets everyone make attacks against everyone around them. Also great. He's just such a toolbox and he really just...
He's a tool.
He puts it down your throat really hard and he loves it.
I'm not happy with your metaphors, sir. They disturb me.
What? You run it down the throat of the opponent. That's a common... People say that, right?
Yeah, and I remember last time I said that, you chuckled.
So...
Madrak is... Epic Madrak. Madrak's okay. Epic Madrak is very solid.
He's very solid.
I like him a lot.
He's got a lot going for him. He's cursed. He's the world ender.
I put Blood Fury on. I think it would be great on the Fenblades.
Yeah.
Give the plus 2 to attack rolls. Feed on them. Obviously not in that order because you just activated Madrak twice.
No, I killed the Reckoner and and the Avatar with the Fenblade unit.
They're mat 6, right?
What? Yeah. So I put
combined.
No combined. However, so, I made them. They were Pal 13s because they were under the stone.
Mm-hmm.
They were. Weapon Masters.
Give
they
flank.
Were they got the flanking going on.
So you're talking mat 8, Pal plus 2.
It's actually +2/+2. It's not like flank, but okay. It's still pretty much flank.
So it's
puts
it's
them up.
Mat 8, Pal plus strength 15s, Weapon Master.
Weapon Masters. They're Vilmons.
Yeah.
And they all attack the Axer went in there to flank it up. Then they were one or two that was in range of both the Avatar and the Reckoner, and the other ones are just, and they all charged it. Pretty much wrecked them, and I popped feet, and they all died.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's all it takes.
And you don't even have to do that. I mean, you didn't mention this. I know you've done it before, Lewis. You could just run them up and then feed on them with Madrak.
Correct.
And they make an attack.
Correct.
And so that gives them – they can run 12 and then swing with 2-inch reach. That's a 14 start range, assuming you can get Madrak close enough to feet because he's only got a 10-inch control reach.
Correct. Yep. And they're brutal.
Yeah, and that is really solid, and that can catch someone with surprise. That's another way to tie them down. You do that, like, at the top of turn 2 with someone.
Yeah.
Run those trolls up there, wipe out a front line, and now you've got tough trolls, literally, probably claiming a point, or at least preventing your opponent from getting in there, being a big meat wall, and you've also got barrier burrowers that are coming down their throat, too.
Yeah, burrowers the next turn. Like, sometimes I don't burrow them first turn if they're not really in immediate danger. Then they get to burrow turn 2, you're in their turn 2, they clear out your stuff, and here come the burrowers, followed, you know, along with caber tossing... Creel Warriors of Doom, you know, they can get the same exact buff, so they hit just as hard and more accurately than the Fenblades.
Mm-hmm.
So
they don't have reach, though. That's their downfall.
They don't have reach. Caber Tosser does, and they slam.
Do you think it would be worth it instead to take a second unit of Fenblades?
No, for steady is amazing.
Steady is amazing.
Yeah, especially in competitive play. Also,
true story, bro.
They get, for 8 points, you get you get 12 models. Additionally, the caber tosser is so, caber thrower is so good. You just like run one of your guys behind them and you can just slam.
What about the Warcaster? What about the quote unquote problem of you have to have the entire unit in the zone to claim it? Has that been a problem with you with the Creels?
I say no, because generally it's contesting. I can toss the Axer or the Earthborn in to get the claiming.
Okay.
And then they.
No, that's fair enough. You got four, so you got two solos and three beasts. So that's five solo models that can claim if you need to.
And additionally, Madrak is up there.
That's true.
I'm pushing the envelope, so he's gonna be there, and he's got to be there. And the Earthborn also just cleans up anything that.
Does he have Overtake or anything like that?
He has. He gains a Fury every time he kills a model, and then he can spend a Fury to move an inch. So he can move a lot. I had a guy playing Epic Madrak. I was playing Evlad yesterday. Killed Doom Reavers, got all the way to Evlad, and then he was like, oh man, I have two Fury and a Feat to kill Evlad. And there's no way.
I had
a bunch of armor at the time. Mm. And
that's
Wardog.
Cool, though. I mean, that's just him you can send in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there's a weak little caster that requires one or two hits, if you don't pop your Feat, you can literally get there and just go hit, and that's it.
Like, so, for example, like if the Harbinger was low on focus, she's effectively with her Feat because Madrak's a living model. I'm not with the Feat, with all, because Madrak's a living model. Yep. She's effectively 16-14.
If you need to, you would call him up, though.
Yeah.
To make him, I mean, you would still need. I mean, he'd be mat 10, so you.
He's not going to need it. I mean,
you need sixes. At that point.
And that's awesome. And Pablo strength 15 on the axe.
15.
If she's got no focus, that's one up.
Yeah.
Even 15 is pretty much standard, I'd say, for a non-focused caster. That's roughly around where average is.
Yeah, sure.
When you have access to rage or something like that, though.
Yeah.
I don't have that in this list. However, there is the Creel Stone buff,
right,
which you can toss out to make him a 16, and he hits relatively hard and often. Very cool. But he's really fun.
Can the Chronicler – can only affect units?
Correct.
So you can't give him flank, unfortunately?
That'd be amazing.
Well, okay. Fortunately, you can't give him flank.
Yeah. He's – you know, I mean, I could talk about it all day. It's definitely one of those lists you just have to experience, because it's really a tabletop mentality with him. It's just going forward and trying to do the best you can. I mean, the best I can say is learn how to use the Burrowers correctly, which is, you know, making sure they get into combat. But with popping up 5 inches from the marker and then being able to charge 9 – they're going to be able to get wherever they want. You know, you've got the Fen Blades. I mean, everything's pretty much, it's all right for everything to die. And then you have this Earthborn Dire Troll backing you up, being able to kill anything, honestly. I mean, he's such a good, fast-moving model. If you kill a Jack, it makes rough terrain. Rough terrain gives him +2 inches of movement. He's a Pathfinder. You know, he's just a wall of, you know.
Built-in Pathfinder's nice. That changed. It was conditional in Mark 1.
Now he didn't have Pathfinder Mark 1. It's huge now.
I think he got it if he started next to Rough Terrain.
Right.
No.
Really? He didn't?
Never got it. Mm-hmm. You had to rush him. He'd be able to charge only.
I am them incorrect. However, yes. It's...
Or cross-country.
I mean...
Which I liked.
Playing the Carnivian quote-unquote chassis and winged beasts, being able to say, I don't care that that's a forest, or I don't care that that's a wall or whatever, is a very, very big deal.
He just has so many buffs. He self-buffs himself, and it's just so nice to not have to worry.
Yeah, he
about
hits.
Things.
What's he hit at base?
15,
which is nice, but
it's not bad. However,
no matter
he takes
what,
the pow
he, yeah,
from your weapon.
No matter what he's going to attack that he wants to kill, its pow is going to be greater than his.
Especially, yeah, because he likes pow threes. Rarely is it
an open his biggest, fist is three.
His biggest nemesis is the Behemoth.
So
pow zeros,
right?
However, you can just run your Axer and right next to him. As long as he's in melee range, you can get the pow 5 from the Axer. So.
A lot of weapons, I think top weapons are around 6 for on Warjacks, because you see like pow 18 for strength 12 models.
You see 7s.
That's like the
Stormclad,
the pinnacle.
The Beast. Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, 6-7, that's a boost of 3-4.
And Warcasters can get up to like 8.
Yeah. That's 3-4
like,
over
the
what
weak
he
ones.
Is.
Like the little girls who are like strength 4 and they have like pow 12s, that's a pow 8 weapon. Or like Asphyxius has a pow 8 weapon. Like that's awesome. It's like, oh sweet, pow 20. Awesome. Also the, who's got like a, someone has like a 16 now. It's
16.
Really.
16.
Pow.
Oh, the Kovas has a 14.
Kovas, pow 14.
Because he has no strength.
Right. Yep.
It's, yeah. But it's still a melee weapon.
What?
Or does it have to be a melee weapon?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But it is a melee weapon.
Right,
so.
Right.
Cool.
But Pals are
fine. Very strong list. I like it. I don't want to face it, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, you get it in droves. If they kill the Fenblades, then you've got the little guys. And the Axers, too. I mean, let's not discount the Axers. The reason I like two as well, They have Thresher. They're Mat 6 POW 14s. They're 18 armor. I mean, with 20 armor under the aura, that's really annoying. Mm-hmm. That's facing little Cawdor Jacks running around.
The problem is that that list actually kind of has two front lines. It's got the Finblades and the Crow Warriors.
And the Crow Warriors.
Because they're going to, well, the Crow Warriors, your Finblades are probably be cutting the Crow Warriors off for the first attack.
Well, yeah, because they're speed six.
So
they'll be in front.
Right.
Followed by, because the first turn they can both run 12 because the Crow Warriors can get plus inches of movement.
But what I'm getting at is, I mean, you can't even just weather one unit and then try and counterattack. You're probably going to be weathering two.
Yeah.
That's three. Huge.
Well, the Krill Warriors always count as two because they don't die.
Yeah, they don't die.
That's really they're cool. Not even done. Those guys are so annoying. I hate those guys.
They're so annoying. And you can field 15. I'm fielding 14.
And even if you do clear out the first half of them, they're spread out so damn far you can't get to the other half. And yeah. You'll still have a counter charge.
Yep.
I hate those guys so effing
much. Like a idiots. But yeah, you just...
It's Josh, just, how do you really feel?
I want to go back to that Facebook picture that you took where I'm doing that at him. That's how I'm feeling.
I just now click.
Uh-huh.
Click. Right. There it is. Post that one, Josh.
That's right.
Wink.
But I'm really happy for the World Ender. Throughout the playtest, he definitely matured. He had Vortex of Destruction, which I thought was the worst spell. I was so mad. And additionally, and at the time, when he had Vortex, he didn't even have Reach. So it was like, so I have a spell that boosts damage rolls in my half-inch melee range. For two, when I'd rather be casting Warpath, which I didn't even talk about. Warpath is a whole nother animal where whenever you destroy a model in his control area, a Warbeast can move 3 inches. That's humongous.
But once only per once
turn.
Per turn.
Once but, per turn. But correct.
And each Warbeast can do it, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Each Warbeast can do it. And that's humongous. Like I didn't even get into that as a kill condition. However, it is a kill condition.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we're talking about those layers. They clear out a layer, and all of a sudden there's a lane because they had to press against your troops to be able to kill them. And now there's lanes, trample lanes, what have you. You know, a couple of well-landed Earthborn shots can win the game. So, and even the Axer, I've killed casters with Axers before. I mean, they hit well and hard. So, he's just got an awesome spell list. He doesn't even have a, and his other, oh yeah, sorry, his other spell lets everyone charge across rough terrain for free. So that's really nice too. So he's got some stuff.
Good deal. Very well, good deal. Bad deal.
Great deal. Great deal for the trolls.
Trolls, I heard he's getting eratted out of the army.
It was really funny. They were talking about in that troll thread. They said that I said everything the trolls was excellent, and they loved that. And then someone was like, "Well, it's true." And then they're like, "Yeah, but that was before the scouts and the Skinner came out." Which was really funny. Which I am kind of disappointed in the Skinner. I mean, it's hard not to compare him to the Manhunter, but the Manhunter is like 8,000 times better than he is.
Sure.
But
if you need an offensive solo, is he better or worse than the hero?
He's way worse. He's Mat 7, POW 8, Weapon Master with Dismember. He has Hunter, which I guess is fine, a Pathfinder, but the hero can charge out of rough terrain for free. He's got Reach, Thresher, POW 13, Weapon Master.
See, that's what I thought.
Command 10, Arm 16. He's only Arm 14. It's a 14-14. He's a 12-16. Additionally, if you bring champs, you can charge through the champs, and the champs can move through each other.
I wonder, I mean...
He has 2 points,
yeah.
Whereas the hero is 3.
This is true.
And I think the Skinner is, he's a little, I don't know, he's a little situational. He definitely has a 2 point solo that
he does have a range attack, right?
No.
I thought he could throw his thing.
I wish he could.
Oh, shoot. Well, never mind.
Yep. It doesn't really help. The one thing I wish he did was, I wish he was better. I wish he had 2 attacks. I wish he had 2 knives. Or if not that, even like POW 9, like just puts him in a different little bracket. POW 8 is really low.
I mean, That's surprisingly low.
You could toss Rage on him, make him POW 11, Weapon Master, Dismember. So you charge a beast, you're hitting 5 dice, and
that's a lot for 1 attack, though.
That is a lot for 1 attack. But if you could have Epic Madrak, you could then do it again. I mean, he might be able to drop a Warpwolf by himself with two attacks.
Warpwolves can be surprisingly fragile.
With 2 attacks, I'd be interested to do the math there. 16, good. 5 off. First attack does 17, 5 off, that's 12. You can almost drop one by himself. Yeah, with 2 attacks.
I did realize something about the Trollkin scouts, though. The leader does not have a pig under his arm. The pig has a leader, has a Trollkin, or the, I'm sorry, the leader has a Trollkin around him.
Because the pig is the leader.
The pig is the actual leader.
Oh, I love it. If you didn't butcher that, it would have been way better.
You want me to start over?
Nope.
Fuck you.
Put it in.
He has an order called Squeal for me.
That's right.
I'm excited for them. I hope they're good. I hope they've got a chance.
They should have a special attack where they can butcher the pig and all heal a couple points.
I still don't understand. Never mind.
What?
Why there's a pig in the unit?
I like what you always
Because say. The trolls are the cartoon faction.
That's why I play.
I don't know. Even that doesn't seem right.
I know. I agree with you. I think they're well sculpted for the most part. I mean, there are some exceptions, notably the beasts, the lights, the newer lights, the Axtron and Impaler still look nice.
He looks nice. For the Swamp Troll, he looks good.
But
like, for example, the Winter Troll could look cooler. The Slag Troll could have looked cooler. The Swamp Troll, he looks like the Swamp Troll. I think you have a problem with the Swamp Troll, not necessarily the sculpting.
Could be. The Slag Troll could look better.
Oh, yeah. The Winter Troll could look better,
too. But the trolls, are, in general, are sculpted really well. I just don't like their flavor. It's just not my thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Bouncer, too, is beautiful. I wish that model
The armored troll trolls.
Yeah. Yeah, the Axer and Impaler and Bouncer. Just the regular full-blood trolls, whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. And then the Jor and Bronn.
Those are the named ones for Madrick.
That'd be so sweet. Yeah. As a pair of trolls, as a you had to buy them in pairs. I'd pay 13 points for them.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time we saw two independent models buff each other. Like, you know, you've got Terran and Rutger Shaw and whatever, so.
That'd be cool if they had to be brought together.
Oh, had to be brought together?
Yeah, you bought.
Like Tomax and Zaymot.
Who's that?
What decade were you born in again?
Wait, G.I. Joe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Woo.
Twins?
Yeah, I really didn't watch. I had G.I. Joes. I didn't really watch G.I. Joes. I was really? More of like a Ghostbusters. Like,
the real Ghostbusters?
Yes. I watched a lot more cartoons. I mean, you could tell from my personality. Like, I love cartoons. Like, my favorite show was just Merry Melodies. Like, you know,
oh, yeah,
Warner sure. Brothers cartoons were just my favorite.
Right.
So were you an Animaniacs fan?
Oh my god, Animaniacs was DVD. Awesome. Okay. And they're very good. They're like really well done.
Yeah, they're not dumbed down by any means.
And they're actually incredibly if you're an older person, there's a lot of references to things that the kids have no idea what you're talking about.
I loved Freakazoid.
Ah, see, I didn't like that.
Really? I absolutely loved Freakazoid.
And I watched it. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it.
The Tick.
What?
The Tick.
The Tick was good. The Tick was good. I was a fan of but I was a fan of generally the comedy cartoons. Mm-hmm. I like those a lot. Animaniacs was great. But anyways, so that's the trolls.
Troll list.
That's a troll list.
A protectorate list.
A protectorate list.
Mike said he had a ton of models, so I'm sure he could play both those.
I think he said he had at least one FA of everything, I think, or something.
Cool. Well, good luck.
Go at it.
And, you know.
Go fight crime.
And definitely both of these armies deal a lot with synergy. And I think just learning how to use them well together is very important. I think my list here that I have is a little more straightforward, a little Legion Cador-ish. But
if you guys were to play these against each other, what would happen?
That'd be
the
tough.
Feet would hurt. My list. Yes, however, that's okay. They'll make their tough checks.
Better hope.
The burrowers are actually really good at claiming the objective because if I move up and burrow first turn, she moves up and pops her feet. I can still be placed into the zone, denying that 1 point, and then they might all die. But then next turn, I get to have my way with everything. Sure. I killed them.
Would you like all of your burrowers to just blow the crap out of the Harbinger, pop up next turn, and just shoot her to death?
It would be really fun. They'd be really, really, really low rat.
You could still Falcal. I mean, they'd be minus two, but you could offset that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't knock that bitch down.
Yeah, I know.
That sucks. Yes, it does. Same thing happened to me with Serpentine the other day. I tried to knock down an angel. Nope. I was like, oh, no.
It sticks its tail straight in the ground.
My plan was ruined. I couldn't. The Earthborn could not hit that angel. I was boosting. I could not hit it.
Yeah.
It sucked.
You said something earlier that made me think, Dave. You were talking about Pathfinder and the Carnivian.
Uh-huh.
Is that true on the other chassis? I don't know. I think we know about the Ravagor, but the Scythian does have Pathfinder?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. Cool. Well, that's cool. That's good for Legion.
Yeah. Yeah, they're apparently big and crazy. Dave's typing things.
I am.
What's he typing? Black. Are you typing show notes?
No, something else.
Okay, what's in the show notes? Old Spice commercial, obviously.
That's right. League of Legends.
League of Legends.
Lots of hodgepodge stuff today.
When is there, like, good... When is there good, like, War Machine data on the internet? Gamingforblood.blogspot.com.
Oh, there's tons of stuff there.
There's tons of stuff there.
Oh, my God. You'll, guys, there's three articles.
There's going to be daily posts for at least the next day. What'd you say, Dave? You get to reveal.
That's it. I'm done.
Are you done?
No, not really.
Okay.
That could be the whole show. Instead of talking, we just type it, and people have to figure out what keys we're typing.
I watched the fastest person in the world type the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Not as fast as I thought it'd be.
Well, they didn't say they were fast at typing. They were just fast in general, right?
What do you mean?
No. You said you saw the fastest person type yesterday.
No, the fastest typist.
Oh, well, how many words a minute did they type?
100 something.
I can type 100 on a good day.
Can you really?
Yeah. on a good day.
You know, it's like blind. Like, you're not blind, but like they're like, type this, and then you type it. And yes. That's, okay.
Right.
You can do that?
Yeah. That well, like not all the time, but on a good day, yeah.
Yeah. It was really fast. I also watched The Fastest Person in like 1989 or whatever. No, yeah. Maybe not 89, but when did David Letterman start?
Early 80s.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it was 89. They put out a typewriter. It's really funny. And then she was the fastest typist in the world. And then they're like, well, we have this intern or someone who worked in the office in the David Letterman show who types really fast too. And so they had a duel and the woman won. The woman, not the
David Letterman's
fastest
woman.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so she's like, she's the fastest woman in the world, fastest typist in the world.
Have you ever seen those kids do the cup thing? The fastest cup stacking thing?
Yeah. No.
That is freaky.
No, that's really cool. My friend can actually do that. He had the whole, he went to tournaments and stuff.
Stacking tournaments.
Cup stacking tournaments.
Because there's like there's different formations.
It's like different patterns and things.
You have to do it in that way.
Right. Yeah. But it's like when they do it, it looks, it's just bizarre looking.
It's really cool.
They're always like 6-year-old kids doing it too.
All right. I've got our final thought.
Final thought. Jerry Springer.
Okay, Jerry. To each other.
See, I knew that.
He's a cursed barbarian fighting for survival of his people. She's a plucky parade float who inspires religious zealotry. They fight crime.
There you go. Along with Madrak and
Chief Mike Buff.
Harbinger, get him out of us now. What?
The chief is always calling the cops into his office because they get into my office. You know, they didn't go by the book. And so you got to throw the book at him because they didn't go by it.
Madrak's the old guy who's on the verge of retirement. This is his one last key. Exactly.
I'm too old for this shit. And everyone's just dying around him.
Danny Glover as Madrak Stonehide, Ironhide, whatever.
And the Harbinger's Mel Gibson saying vile, awful things to his.
Mel Gibson, what a champion. He like cannot not be horrible. It's so weird.
I know.
And we used to love him.
So my final thought was not a final thought because we went on.
Mel Gibson's a horrible person.
Did you listen to the whole tape?
Yes.
Oh my god, disgusting. I'm not offended by much, but I was offended by the things he said.
How does he pull this out of his ass?
I don't know.
Does he like want attention? I feel like it's almost like fake. It's so ridiculous.
If it didn't cause all of his managers and agencies to drop him, I would agree.
Yeah.
But yeah. But you know what? He has all of this money and then he can do whatever he wants with it, so what does he care?
Bye everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that swans. Not swans.